if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 306. It's our 2024 PGA Championship in-depth research preview. Barry O'Hanran and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss this year's second major championship. Good afternoon, lads. How are we?
Good afternoon, boys. All good here?
Afternoon, boys. Nice to record with the sun up above the horizon.
Indeed.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website, where from Monday, the 13th of May, we will have PGA Championship research and tips previews. We've got major championship form stats. I'll go through a few of those later. PGA Championship form stats and of course our PGA Championship predictor model. Can you believe all of that valuable information and statistical analysis will be available completely free of charge? There is no paywall. On X, you can follow Barry at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available, along with my weekly golf betting show. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. Keep them coming, people. That's all I will say. So I was just thinking about this over the last couple of weeks. We've had Tyler in Phoenix, I believe. We had Rob in Bend, Oregon. And now we've got Harry in Manchester. This one is entitled Simply Superb, 5 stars. I have been listening for a couple of years now. And this is my go-to podcast for commentary on golf betting. Each week, Steve, Paul and Barry provide fantastic insights into both PGA and DP World Tour events. Not only are the guys informative, but they are also entertaining. I love listening to the pod on my walk home from work every Tuesday. This has become something of a routine. I must also mention the Golf Betting System website, which is so useful and forms part of my research for every tournament I bet on. Keep up the great work, gents. As I said, that is from Harry in Manchester. Thank you, Harry.
Brilliant stuff. Yes, thanks, Harry. That's very kind of you to say such kind words.
Nice one, Harry. It seems a lot of people listen to the pod on walks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That's where I listen to most of my podcasts. Walks or sort of, yeah, walks or runs or something similar. Yeah, we're all different. Oh, by the way, I don't make any of these, some of these things, they're kind of advertorials, aren't they? None of these are made up. These are all genuine. But so all I will say is to you listeners out there, please keep these reviews coming because these 5-star reviews, they really do help the podcast just to, in the podcast charts and, you know, Apple and Spotify take those charts and say, well, actually, if this podcast is that popular, we'll give this podcast a bit more visibility. So it's all down to you guys on that basis. So keep them coming. And don't forget that 5-star button. Keep that pressed if you are listening on Spotify. Right. 2024 PGA Championship research preview. I've been digging. We are playing what I would call next week, or if you're listening to it the weekend or the week of this week, we are playing a very PGA Championship-like golf course. She's a bit of a brute, is Valhalla. Let me just run you through some of the numbers. It's been freshly extended from 2014 when Rory McIlroy won here from a shot from Phil Mickelson and Ricky Fowler. I was on Fowler, you won't be surprised to hear. He was also single digit, I remember. Paul, was it something like 7-1? Rory won this at?
Yeah, it was in that bracket, wasn't it?
Smidgen of eights, maybe.
on the back of having won his previous two tournaments, he was never going to be a bargain price, was he?
No. A Jack Nicklaus design in 84-85. It had a Nicklaus renovation in 2011 before the 2014 PGA Championship. And then in 2021, it's had another course lengthening exercise. Plus, they've changed the agronomy of the golf course. This is where I really start getting into things when they start changing agronomy, as regulars will know. I categorise this as a classical golf course, technical, so a low, a high scoring golf course. I expect high single digits, maybe very low double digits would win this. It's definitely long. 7,609 yards. Yeah, you heard that correctly. 7,609 yards. And even better, it plays as a par 71 with only three par fives. Ouch. Number of holes with water in play, 7. Number of sand bunkers, 60. Acres of fairway, 23. Now, 23 acres of fairway is not a great deal on a golf course that is 7,609 yards long. And this is where it gets interesting. Fairways, Zion Zoysia grass. The rough is Kentucky bluegrass with tall fescue up to 4 inches in length. The greens, 5,000 square feet on average, they feature T1 bent grass. So the change in agronomy from what we saw when Rory won here is the fact that the fairways have been changed to Zoysia. Zoysia being a very heat-resistant type of grass, which in theory runs a lot firmer and faster than bluegrass or bent grass fairways, and is also more water resistant. The idea being that they want this course to play, you know, with a little bit of release if they could get it to that state. So yeah, we've had some course renovations. What they've effectively done, I'll just run you through them. Oh, regulars won't be surprised here. This is off a post-it note. They've extended the first, which is a par 4, by 38 yards. They've extended the 8th, which is a par 3, to 190 yards. They've extended the 12th up to 494 yards. That's 27 yards up. A new tee box on the par 3, 14th, takes that to a monstrous 254-yard par 3. And the 18th has been extended from 546, and it's up to 570 as a par 5 finishing hole, which we always like. We do like a par 5 finishing hole. That's an additional 28 yards of length. In total, the course is 146 yards longer than it played in 2014.
Probably just aligning it with the modern-day golfer.
Technology. Yeah.
It's probably won't play massively different in that respect to how it did 10 years ago.
You two have been sitting watching the final round of Rory McIlroy. I think that's going to be one of the most viewed YouTube videos over the next course of the next week. I watched it yesterday, by the way. I'll start with you, Barry. What did you think of the course? Just some key elements that you took from it.
I think my is more focused on what I'm seeing this time round rather than, like, the memories are 10 years ago or reasonably vague. The one shot in particular, or the couple of shots I remember, like Rory's approach to 10, the par 5, where he made eagle, got that little running three wood, and then obviously the final hole. But just looking at the course flyover for a feel for a little advanced feel for next week, it seems like there's a good draw shot shape bias to it, which might merge a little bit with how, you know, Rory's shot shape back then. I could be spoofing a bit, but these are just kind of the feels I have for it.
Yep. What about you, Paul?
Yeah, I think just looking back and seeing, you know, seeing the sight lines that Rory would have been seeing back in the day 10 years ago, strikes me as slightly wider than I expected when I first kind of thought, you know, we're playing Valhalla this year, and you know, it's going to be a reasonable test, and it is going to be a reasonable test. The PGA Championships often end up a similar kind of winning score, although going back to 2014, it was particularly soft, and Rory got to 16 under in the end, didn't he? 15 under for Phil, and then there were a few. I think all of the top seven and ties, all of them finished double digits under par. So if it's similarly soft this year, then, you know, arguably we might get to the same kind of level. I'm sure you'll take us through the likely conditions as we go through the pod, Steve. But yeah, it's, you know, it's tree lined without being encroachingly so. It's not a Valderrama. It's not even a Wentworth, really, when I looked at it, which, you know, in my mind before I'd gone back and reviewed it, that was kind of how I was, it was kind of what I was thinking of as to how it would set up. But the thing that strikes me, and if you go back, we can all talk about Rory winning, but if you go back and look at some of the players who were in that final leaderboard, what strikes me is the diversity of the styles of player that you've got out there. So Rory first, Phil Mickelson second, and then you got the likes of Ricky Fowler, you said Henrik Stenson tied third, and then you've got Jim Furyk in fifth. You know, so you've got Rory, who was the leader for driving distance on the week, and then you've got Jim Furyk, who was almost dead last in terms of driving distance of those who made the cut. So it kind of tells you that it's the kind of course that if you're playing well, you can compete on without it overly favouring one style or another. But the likely winner is probably going to be dictated by the conditions to a certain degree. And if it is soft, then, you know, the longer hitters are going to have a little bit more of an advantage, as they often do at a PGA Championship.
I wonder about the lengthening of the course that they've done, because if you compare 2014 distance to the length of the course this year, it's less than 10 yards added per hole.
Mm.
And I would feel that they've, you know, ball distances and how players are hitting the ball these days, it's a bit more optimized than 10 yards a hole over the 10 years. So I don't think it's going to play as long as it may have felt back then. Even though 7,600 yards par 71 sounds like, you know, to us mere mortals, just impossible. But for these guys, I don't know. Mm. If there's a little bit of release in the fairways, like I don't think it's going to play brutish, but I guess that'll be part of the weather discussion a little later in the show.
Yeah. Well, if Jim Furyk can finish in the top six, Mikko Ilonen was tied seventh, and he's not long either. If those guys can finish in those positions, then it does suggest that you shouldn't just be putting a line through shorter players just because they're shorter players.
Might be a case of just long enough.
Yeah, or other attributes which enable you to get around the course adequately.
Just to back you up on that, Barry, I've got some numbers here. Keegan Bradley won the PGA Championship in 2011. His season driving distance in yardage was 301 yards off the tee. That was good enough for 16th place that season.
Mm.
Take Justin Thomas in 2022, the winner at Southern Hills. His driving distance that month was 300. That year was 314, so an additional 13 yards. And he ranked 14th in the driving distance charts. So there's 13 yards difference. Pretty much exactly the same position.
So for all intents and purposes, it's the same course in terms of its composition. It's just, the actual metrics have changed to adapt for the current golfer.
So an interesting angle. I like that. Mm. This golf course has hosted three PGAs, 96, 2000, 2014. 96 was Mark Brooks, his one and only major. 2000 was Tiger Woods. 2014 was Rory McIlroy. Of course, it also held a 2008 Ryder Cup. The golf course itself is set in Louisville, Kentucky. I'll go on to a little bit of the sort of geographical location of Kentucky, where it sits in America, and potentially tournaments that we can link to that a little bit later on, which I think is interesting. Just taking that zoysia grass link. The only courses on the PGA Tour that regularly play on zoysia. This changes this week, Paul, because of our Myrtle Beach Classic.
It does, yeah.
East Lake, where they play the Tour Championship every year. TPC Southwind, where they played the FedEx St. Jude, and they played that for years and years and years in various different guises. Those two, though, feature Bermuda grass greens. The only direct golf course that has the same agronomy as what we have seen this, or what we're going to see at Valhalla on the PGA Tour, is Narashino Country Club in Japan, where they played the 2019 Zozo and then the 2021, 22 and 23 Zozo Championships. Interestingly enough, Tiger Woods won that in 2019. And I also remember 2022, where Ricky Fowler was in a head-to-head battle with Keegan Bradley at the Zozo, and Keegan Bradley won that tournament over in Japan.
Yep.
So there's Woods that's won around here, and Fowler, who finished third behind Rory in 2014. So yes, it's a completely different part of the world, but the same agronomy, and it's a completely different golf course, because that golf course is sub 7,000 yards. Very, very short, very claustrophobic, very tree-lined. This is, it's an interesting one, this. I mean, you look at the golf course, there's various different segments to it. I certainly wouldn't call it claustrophobic. There are trees involved, but they don't tend to be particularly close to the fairways at all. And then you get a section, which to me seems very open. There's lots of mounding for spectators. There's very long fescue involved. I think one thing you can also say here is, I find it fascinating, the size of the greens. So let's run you through this. Valhalla, as we said earlier, A1 bent grass type putting surfaces. They are 5,000 square feet on average. So we've got 5,000 square feet on average bent grass greens on a 7,609 yard par 71. Let's compare that to Oak Hill last year. The greens there were slightly smaller, 4,500 square feet on average. They were bent grass as well. That golf course plays at a 7,394 yard par 70. And then Southern Hills down in Oklahoma in 2022, JT won there. The greens there were bigger than this week, 5,300 square feet on average. They were bent grass as well. That golf course was a 7,365 yard par 70, so shorter and bigger greens. So we've got we've got relatively small greens and a long golf course this week. Thought that was interesting.
Yep.
The only other course that had the same agronomy as well, Belrive Country Club in St. Louis, Missouri, which is a neighbouring state to Kentucky. That golf course, 2018 PGA Championship, first was Brooks Koepka, second was Tiger Woods, third Adam Scott, fourth John Rahm, sixth Francesco Molinari, Justin Thomas, Gary Woodland, our old friend, 10th, Tyrrell Hatton. And then 12th, Ricky Fowler, Shane Lowry, Jordan Spieth, 19th, Jason Day.
I think that the size of the greens and the fairways, not the width, because they're not wide, but we're talking, the fact that they aren't claustrophobically tree-lined. I think that comes through on the stats. And, of course, going back to 2014, we won't have had the strokes gained data, so it's all kind of basic stuff. But the number that caught my eye was that out of the top finishers, Stenson was the only one to hit 70% of greens in regulation. Everyone else was in the 60s or below. So the greens are tricky to hit, and that's even in conditions as they were back then, which was relatively soft. And you know, it's not as if the greens were repelling the approach shots.
No,
they were quite accepting to the approach shots. Yet trying to find, you know, upwards of 2/3 of greens in regulation was tricky and challenging, even for the guys at the very, very top. So fairways weren't particularly the issue. It was, can you find the greens? And then when you can't find the greens, can you get yourself up and down and minimise the number of putts that you need to get yourself into, you know, or compile yourself a competitive score?
For reference, the Zozo Championship has seen Tiger Woods win it, Hideki Matsuyama, Yama, Keegan Bradley, and Colin Morikawa.
Mm.
But it is sub 7,000 yards, so
yeah.
I wouldn't be backing Colin Morikawa next week. That's my own personal perspective in terms of a winner. I'd say some other numbers I took from the... From 2014 and Rory's winning performance. Strokes gained off the tee. Amazingly enough, he was first in the field. Strokes gained on approach, 11th. Strokes gained around the green, 34th. Strokes gained tee to green, 3rd. Strokes gained putting, 12th. So if you look at that statistically, he gained per round 3.03 strokes per round from tee to green. That's 73%. He also gained 1.11 strokes putting, 27% of his total. Fascinatingly, both Victor Dubuisson, he was actually playing golf back then, guys, Victor Dubuisson, and Jason Day were better than Rory from tee to green on the week, but both putted negatively on the greens, finishing 7th and 15th, respectively, that week. So I had a little dig into this, and if you look at Rory, he putted well for the week on Valhalla's bent grass greens. So he was, Rory was first, Mickelson second, Fowler third, Stenson third, Stricker seventh, and Mikko Ilonen seventh. All finished in the top 10 positions and were in the top 12 for strokes gained putting for the week. Only Victor Dubuisson putted negatively and finished in the top 10. And actually, when you look at the greens, I think once you're actually on board, they look particularly uninspiring. They look quite flat. They look quite, I'm not going to use the word easy, but they don't seem very tricked up for major championship greens. And that kind of comes across in that set of stats where Rory, Mickelson, Fowler, Stenson, Stricker, Ilonen were all in the top 7 and were all in the top 12 for strokes going putting for the week. And that to me puts me off a player, you know, team no putt, you know, a player like, let me choose one, someone like Tony Finau at the moment, who has pretty much been negative with the putter all year. Unless he literally finds it in the next 10 days. It's players like that you think, it's only one renewal, I get that. But if you do need players that can actually putt positively, it does two things for me. It puts me off a number of players that are team no putt. And it actually suggests, you know, that Scotty Scheffler might get beaten.
I was about to say, is he going to be this year's Victor Dubuisson? Gets the top 10, but just couldn't make any putts.
Absolutely.
I'd love to see a bit more on the putting stats from that event back then, you know, in 2014, because with particularly flat greens, very subtle breaks are, you know, they're hard to kind of, they can actually be a bit harder to find and make putts on because you're just missing by fractions, where with a bit more distinction in the greens, it can help a bit. So I wonder, you know, to see, you know, one putt percentage or three putt avoidance, a little bit more around that to kind of help firm up ideas about players. And, you know, if somebody can just come in with not putting well, but maybe adapt to these or not catch fire, but not be negative for the week. Because you might be able to find a longer price hidden gem if somebody has been putting poorly, but could particularly, you know, light it up on, or get going on these greens.
Mm. Clearly, you've found some strokes gain stats then, Steve, that I haven't come across yet, because I stated a few moments ago that there were no strokes gained stats.
You can rely on me to find out data if it's there.
Dug some out, which we'll have to share with us.
You were spending too much time looking for Jim Herman stuff this week.
Yeah, he never did make it in the field. Stuck on the putting green as the first alternate.
Bo Hosler could be getting first round leader, Barry.
No.
It's off to a fast start.
No, I don't believe it.
Now, Kentucky hosts this year's PGA Championship. It also hosts the Barber's Old Championship every year, which is a opposite event on the PGA Tour, so the field there of strength isn't great. But if you actually look at where Kentucky is located, you can't call it Midwest, but there are elements of the state that are bordered by Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Virginia, and West Virginia. These states have all had PGA Tour and LIV Golf League events on courses which feature bent grass or bent grass with Poana mix greens. And actually, when I think about what I've seen of the course, I'll just throw these out there. To me, it seemed to be a little bit of a mix of Muirfield Village, where they play the Memorial every year. That's in the next nearby state of Ohio. I think there was also a little bit of Oak Hill in there. Although, I also think that this seems to be a PGA of America thing as well. You look at their golf courses recently, especially last year at Oak Hill. It was one of those courses where if you were long and you were straight, typical PGA Championship, you had a real advantage. And players that were missing fairways by 3 yards or 15 yards, it didn't really seem to make a difference. In fact, in many cases, it was better to miss the fairways by 15 yards because you would in trampled down conditions from the spectators.
Mm. Yeah.
And then around the green complexes themselves, if it's similar to what we saw at Oak Hill, it feels to me very much like the USGA used to set up, US Open setups, with thick rough around greens that you can just basically pop the ball out of. And in someone like Victor Hovland that we saw last year, that almost took away the fact that guys with short games could still be more than competitive. Because you were, in effect, pretty much, if you were missing greens, you were playing the same shot around the whole golf course. You were just popping it out of the rough. It took away that element of, you know, with the shaved areas, what we see at Augusta, what we see at a lot of courses now. It takes away that element of creativity when you miss greens.
Mm.
And the different options that gives you. And that's what kills tour pros. When you give the pro a situation, you say, well, actually, you can play this shot three or four ways. And a lot of people struggle with that. A lot of pros struggle with that, making the right selection, the right shot choice. What I'm saying here is, in my view, this will sound ridiculous when he wins by six shots, but in my view, if we're looking at a golf course here whereby strokes gained putting would seem to be a real advantage to get into the top 10, and if we're saying that this golf course also takes away a bit of the advantage of those with fantastic around the green games, creativity and the ability to be able to, you know, to gain shots massively around green complexes, that to me suggests that Scottie Scheffler at 7-2, especially with his wife Meredith still yet to produce their first child, I think he's vulnerable for the PGA.
Yeah.
Those are my thoughts.
Well, as it stands, he's going to have to go straight to the course from the delivery room if things don't take a bit more of a bit more progression over the next few days.
In my mind, looking at the agronomy, looking at the golf courses side by side, for me, the PGA Championship Valhalla course would suit Scotty Scheffler less than Pinehurst number two for next month's US Open. I think Pinehurst is the perfect setup for Scotty Scheffler. And if you remember when Keimer won there, what did he do? He literally just pulled away from the field and had the tournament won by the end of Saturday evening. Mm. That's something you could certainly see at the 2024 US Open with Scotty Scheffler, in my opinion. So I'm prepared to take him on next week.
Yeah, yeah. There's question marks there, isn't there? You know, it's, even if you know, the baby's safely arrived by that point and he's teeing it up and had a couple of days of prep, then even so, it's a massive, you know, mental upheaval. Let alone the fact that, you know, as you say, the course may not be absolutely, you know, Scotty favoured in that respect. Plus, the price is pretty damn short, isn't it?
Yeah.
7-2, 4-1, maybe, if you shop around.
Be interested to see if the bookmakers are actually making that price bigger next week.
Mm, it depends on
it. I somewhat doubt it.
Yeah.
You might get a snidge in a 9-2 somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's not much support for him, then you'd expect it to move out a little bit.
Here's a list of players that have won in the last 5 years in states that border Kentucky or in Kentucky itself. Patrick Cantlay, Jason Day, Bryson DeChambeau, Jason Duffner, Lucas Glover, Brian Harman, Billy Horschel, Victor Hovland, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Matt Kuchar, Shane Lowry. I don't know if Kuchar's actually in. Might have to get him off this list. Matsuyama. Rory McIlroy, Phil Mickelson, Colin Morikawa, Joaquin Niemann, JT Poston, John Rahm, Justin Rose, Xander, Adam Scott, Cameron Smith, Jordan Spieth, Seb Strucker, Steve Stricker, Justin Thomas, Camilo Vijaygas, and Tiger Woods. This is his career wins, by the way. Tiger Woods, by the way, won 20 times, 13 in Ohio, 7 in Illinois. Of course, he won here 2000 as well on this golf course. Mm. Interesting. If you want players there that have won multiple times, Cantlay 2, DeChambeau 4, Hovland 2, DJ 3, Matsuyama 2, McIlroy 3, John Rahm 2, Justin Rose 2, Jordan Spieth 2, Steve Stricker 4, you can include 3 John Deere Classics played in Sylvia, Illinois, mm. Justin Thomas, and Tiger Woods 20.
I get the feeling that DeChambeau is going to be quite a popular one next week. There's quite a lot that kind of aligns, isn't there? Particularly with the length aspect as well. Been playing some nice stuff over on the LIV circuit. So yeah, I can see a few tips going his way, I expect.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot to like about Bryson for next week on a golf course that's going to be super, you know, very driver heavy. Mm. I'm just looking actually last year at the driving distances of those. Brooks won at Oak Hill with, he was 5th for driving distance. Scotty Scheffler was 2nd and 2nd for driving distance. Hovland 31st. Cam Davis 9th, Bryson DeChambeau 1st, and then also tied for 7th, Rory McIlroy was 8th. Mm. So a 5th, a 2nd, a 9th, a 1st, an 8th, and Patrick Cantlay, you can throw him in, he was 11th for driving distance, he finished in the top 9. You know, your typical Patrick Cantlay backdoor top 10 at a major. Mm. So yeah, I personally think that driving distance, again, this year will pay a big part in what we need to be looking for a winning player this time around.
Mm.
Now, this course is... Sorry, go on, Paul.
I was going to say, you mentioned off mic that it seems to be quite wet in terms of how the weather's been on the lead up to this and potentially what the forecast looks like ahead of the event next week as well.
Since last Friday, they've had 2.1 inches of rain in Louisville.
Mm.
It's raining now. That is 53 millimetres over here on this side of the Atlantic. And the forecast from Monday onwards looks like it's high chances of quite a chunk in terms of duration of precipitation building up to to the Thursday start.
Yeah.
And I haven't read anything to say that this course has got sub-air of any kind. So, we might have a soft Valhalla for the opening rounds on Thursday and Friday.
Soft, long, is going to... Yeah, and you've got the likes of a DeChambeau who's sitting there at 28-1 and in some half-decent nick, yet someone like a John Rahm is half the price, who's really not taken to the live circuit in any truly contending perspective at the end of tournaments. And Ludwig Oberg, who's got potentially a knee problem, again, at half the price. Yeah, there's potentially a bit of a game to play there.
Can I just take you through a little kind of piece of work that I've done? And I know that you're going to have very various trends and stats to throw it, but let me throw this one out there first, and then I'll be quiet. As we know, 3 PGA Championships played here. They've also had 2 senior PGA Championships, 2004 and 2011. The winners list of those Valhalla-hosted stroke play tournaments is Mark Brooks, Tiger Woods, Hale Irwin, Tom Watson, and Rory McIlroy. Not a bad list there. Hale Irwin's got 3 majors on his resume. Tom Watson had 8. Tiger Woods, of course, had 15. McIlroy, 4. So that's a total of 30 major championships between the 4 of the 5 winners on this golf course. There's also a definitive links golf connotation between all 5 players, as Watson, Woods and McIlroy have 9 open championships between them. Rory won this off the back of winning the 2014 Open at Hoylake. Hale Irwin is an open championship runner-up in Birkdale 1983 amongst 3 career open top tens. And Mark Brooks finished 3rd at St Andrews in 1995 and 5th at Lytham in 1996, directly before winning his only major championship here at Valhalla in the same year. Then I look at just recent winners of PGA championships on what I call typical PGA Tour long venues. So Koepka 23, Thomas 22, Mickelson 21, a couple of Koepka wins in 19 and 18, Thomas in 17, Jimmy Walker in 16, Jason Day in 2015, 2 McIlroys and a Keegan Bradley in 2011. That was Atlanta Athletic. Arriving at the golf course the week they won the PGA, none of those players were outside. Sorry. All of those players, except Phil Mickelson, were inside the top 23 for driving distance on the PGA Tour. Phil Mickelson's the odd one. He was 50th.
Mm.
But then he was still hitting it, by the way, 302 yards, arriving here. If you take a few of the more recent ones, Thomas ranked 14th, Koepka and Koepka 11th and 14th, JT 6th. So what I've done, I've effectively said, well, if you kind of splice those 2 sets of numbers together, so we need guys that are hitting it long at the moment, yeah, And guys that have some kind of Open Championship background. That's kind of where I've spliced the two together.
Yep.
This is what I came up with in terms of players that could interest in the field this week. I've also included live numbers in this for driving distance this year. Right, McIlroy, he ranks third on the PGA Tour at the moment for driving distance. So we've got McIlroy, our friend Ben Arne, Wyndham Clark, Minwoo Lee, Taylor Pendrith, Gary Woodland, Stefan Jaeger, Nikolai Højgaard, Ludvig Auber, Keith Mitchell, Jake Knapp, Ryan Fox, Tony Finau, Justin Thomas and Patrick Rogers all sit in the top 40 for driving distance. So I've been a little bit flexible with that. This is also before this week's Quail Hollow event where these driving distance numbers for these players will go up because that is an absolute driver fest. So other players that are kind of close to the top 40, Kitayama, Tigala, Burns, Scott, Xander, Spieth. On live, the list's a lot shorter. I'm going down to Brooks Koepka, who's on 305 yards drive off the tee so far this season. You've got Koepka, you've got Mronk, you've got Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, Dean Burmester, who I think is an interesting name, plays some really good golf. Wacky Neiman, number one, of course, Bryson DeChambeau. Mm. Now, if those players... Here's a list of those that have got at least a top 10 in an Open Championship. McIlroy's record is just phenomenal. I won't go into the detail, I'll be here for another 10 minutes. Tony Finau's had a ninth and a third. Adam Scott's second, third, fifth, 10th. Xander's had a second at Carnoustie. Jordan Spieth, well, we know Spieth's record at Opens. Then across to Liv. DeChambeau's had a top 10 at St Andrews. John Rahm's had a third and a second. Dustin Johnson's had a phenomenal record at Open Championships, but yet to win one. And Brooks Koepka, who on the sly has not got a bad Open Championship record, you know. 10th at St Andrews in 2015, 6th at Birkdale in 17th, 4th at Port Rush in 19, 6th at Sandwich in 2021. So if you splice that Open Championship resume with guys that have got the brute power, that's a relatively short list of names.
Yeah.
And I think the more and more you look at this and the more and more you look at the golf course, the likely conditions, what's going to be a driver-friendly championship, you do start to see the same names over and over again on lists. Mm. You really do. Right, Paul, what can you bring to the party for the listeners? I know you've been digging away.
Yeah, I guess a couple of angles that I've looked at, and one that I've picked up before ahead of a PGA Championship, and it's one a factor that you can use to get rid of nearly two-thirds of the field if you choose to go down that route. Now, if you go back all the way to Keegan Bradley in 2011, and if you exclude the COVID year, where everything was a little bit up in the air and the schedule was, well, everything was a lot up in the air is probably the truth, and the schedule was all over the place. Every other year, the winner of the PGA Championship from Keegan Bradley onwards has at least made the cut at the Masters. Now, I think there's some logic in that because having had a positive outing at the previous major championship at least gives you the confidence that you can go forward and build on that. I think that makes some logical sense. And of course, over the last couple of years, that's been taken to the next level because Brooks was, what, second, wasn't he, at the Masters in the April before he won last year. And I think JT finished eighth from memory. But if you cut the field down just to the players that made the cut of the Masters, then you can get rid of nearly 100 players out of this week's field. Now, I know that sounds pretty brutal, but the facts are there. you know, as I say, going back to Keegan Bradley, everyone, apart from the year where the Masters didn't sit ahead of the PGA Championship in the COVID year, every other year, the player who has won PGA has at least made the cut of the Masters. Now, that gets rid of some pretty big names, and some of the names that you read through just a second ago. Wyndham Clark, gone. Victor Hovland, Brian Harman, Jordan Spieth, Nick Taylor, Sam Burns, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson. And, you know, I was keen on Johnson at the Masters, as were many people. And, you know, again, long course, potentially picking up a little bit of form. But if you go down as brutal as cutting the field down, as I've just described, then he's not on your shortlist. Mm. He's not on your shortlist of 50 or so. There's 156 in the field. We've only got a couple to confirm, but as I say, you can lose nearly 100 of the field if you go down that route.
Paul, is there an even stronger correlation or a weaker correlation since 2019 when the PGA Championship moved to being the major after the Masters?
I think the correlation's the same. I think what we've seen, as I described a second ago, is that the actual finishing position over the last couple of years has got even more pronounced, if anything, with JT and then with Brooks last year. You know, could you look at the final leaderboard of the Masters and infer that you're going to see something quite similar? Logically, you know, it's not a difficult justification, is it? You know, it's a similar field at the top end of the similarly good top class players playing against each other, and would you expect a similar kind of outcome? Quite possibly.
I mean, four and a bit weeks between the two of them.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, the form comes and goes, and we've seen some pretty substantial improvements in form. You know, Brooks Koepka's a great example of that, who's by his own admission, you know, had a poor Masters, as buckled down in the meantime, got a win on live last week, and you know, he's going to come in as one of the hottest properties to lift yet another PGA Championship this week. But yeah, other than that, yeah, it's just only a few weeks in between, which would make sense.
Here are the raw numbers going back to Koepka. The first time they won it, they ran it in May. He was second at Augusta before. We'll forget about Morikawa, as Paul said. Phil Mickelson, 21st at Augusta. Justin Thomas, 8th at Augusta. Brooks Koepka, 2nd at Augusta. So there you go. That's four winners, all in the top 21 at Augusta. He says, desperately opening up his Augusta 2024 leaderboard. Do you want to list the names? Top 21?
Do it.
I would include 20 seconds, but Sorry. I'll go to 20 seconds. You know, you can't be too anally retentive, can you? Adam Scott, Wacky Neiman, Rory McIlroy, Minwoo Lee, Matt Fitzpatrick, Harris English, Patrick Cantlay, Keegan Bradley, Taylor Moore, Lucas Glover, Sepp Straka, Chris Kirk, Nikolai Højgaard, Ben Arn. Ben Arn was 16th at the Masters. Adam Schenk, Patrick Reed, Matteo Pavon, Cam Davis, Will Zalatoris, Cam Young, Tyrrell Hatton, Xander, Cam, Bryson, Colin Morikawa, Max Homer, Tommy Fleetwood, Ludwig Ober, Scotty Scheffler. So theoretically, the winner of the PGA Championship comes from one of those names.
Potentially, yeah. Potentially.
So Brooks isn't winning. Neither is Ram.
Well, I don't know if you go to the, you know, to the cut line that I described, then
yeah, Brooks okay on Paul's timeline, yeah. Cut line.
Depends how brutal you get with your knife on that one, I think. Yeah, food for thought there. The other thing I've had a quick look at, of course, we'll put the predictor model out on Monday, but some of the variables that I've assumed you're going to be using, Steve, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking bent grass greens, soft golf course, it looks to me, That's going to be one of the variables. It's long, it's classical, it's Jack Nicklaus, it's a par 71, as you described. If you pump all of those into the statistics and picking just those players that I've left after I've taken the 100 or so out of it, if you average all of those out right now, and of course we've got this week's tournaments to go and the numbers will change a little bit, but if I were to rank the field as it stood post my cut for performance on those different variables, then I've got a list of 10 players. And again, you know, this may or may not have any bearing as to where we go with it, but the names are, again, quite interesting and quite similar. 10th on my list was Patrick Reed. And again, Reed was another popular one at the Masters, certainly from me, and I think you were on Reed as well, Steve, weren't you?
Yeah.
9th, Koepka. 8th, Tony Finau. 7th, Max Homer. 6th, Xander. 5th, Colin Morikawa. 4th, Patrick Cantlay. 3rd, John Rahm. 2nd, Rory. And, of course, number 1, Scottie Scheffler. So, again, there's no massive surprises there, but if you're starting to kind of weed out some of the factors, again, you could overlay the Open Championship angle that you described there to try and get a different dimension on that, see where some of the names correlate, pump in some of the other factors as well, the Nicklaus design performances. And you listed a few Nicklaus courses on your preview, which I thought was interesting. I know you've kind of poo-pooed the idea of Colin Morikawa, but he does have a great record on Jack Nicklaus courses, doesn't he?
I just don't think he's got the raw materials to win a PGA Championship around a 7,600 yard golf course, but top five
potentially
could definitely see that.
Yeah, former Open champion as well, of course. So there's that's a like. I just wonder. I mean, I'm gonna have to like you guys give it some thought and some analysis over the next few days. But I just wonder if there's scope for a player to kind of be contrarian with this and putt their way around the course, you know, a Cam Smith type potentially, who doesn't hit the fairways, doesn't hit the greens, but just putts and scrambles lights out for 4 days and gets himself in the mix. And Cam Smith's been playing some competitive stuff over on the LIV circuit, a couple of second place finishes, one of them at Hong Kong, Fan Ling, which is not really him, I don't think. Fan Ling, sixth at the Masters as well, where he led the field for scrambling, which caught my eye. I'm sure it's not escaped your attention, Steve. He was seventh for greens in regulation last week on the LIV Singapore event. So
maybe they apparently played that on Georgia grass fairways, by the way.
Hmm. Yes.
Who in the last 5 years, chaps, do you think's won most on Jack Nicklaus golf courses? Barry, give me one name on the PGA Tour.
On the PGA Tour? Oh, it means
PGA Tour only, who's won on Nicklaus designs, going back to the start of 2019.
I mean, like, pass. Don't kill me with these things. Rory, like, what? Just going to go on somebody's winning a lot.
Throw him
under the bus. It's a name that you will literally spit feathers at.
Well, someone's got to have gone gone some to have beaten Colin Morikawa, because I counted Montreux and Muirfield Village and the WGC at Concession as well. He won, didn't he? So if it's not Colin, is it Cantlay?
It's both.
Yeah.
Cantlay's got three and Morikawa's got three.
Yeah, I don't know which way I'd go on that that particular choice.
Cantlay has won at Muirfield Village twice and Sherwood Country Club. Colin at Montreux, the Barracuda. As you said, he won at Memorial, Muirfield Village and the Concession in Florida.
Mm.
He does like a Jack Nicklaus golf course.
Yeah.
I see Rory hasn't won one. I found your PGA Championship preview, Steve.
Not in the last 5 years.
Not the last 5 years, yeah.
No, but clearly he has in the past.
There is one name on that I really like as a long shot next week.
Well, I was going to ask you, because Paul and I have been talking a hell of a lot, and you've been sitting there taking notes. What players are you interested in for the PGA Championship going into it? What players are entering your thought process? We're not holding you to anything here. What players do you think might fit the bill?
And nobody listened to me either, because I'm on a horrible run. I have Max Antipost from last year, so I still like that. I think this could... He's had a good performance at the Masters, so seems to have got rid of that little bit of iffiness or question marks over his game. Let's see. I'm happy to have it. Not going to do anything more with it. Leave it there. I was looking back at the... Before we kind of got to this, I was looking back at the Masters leaderboard just because recency, only a few weeks ago, who's playing well in major championship conditions on a testing enough golf course. And look, I mean, you're going to laugh at this, but like Tommy Fleetwood, if he's going to win a major, the PGA feels like the one like likely or would kind of match in my head that like, oh yeah, Tommy won the PGA. Like it would be his one and only major maybe, and that kind of fits a storyline. Yeah. He's got the draw shape, which I kind of said earlier about this course. It feels like that, you know, lends itself a bit more to a draw shape. So who else then? Obviously, you know, Brooks is there. Be interesting to see how Ram goes. He was clearly very annoyed about his performance in the Masters, and I wonder if he can manifest that annoyance into finding form and I'll show you. That'll be an interesting one to see. I don't think I won't be backing him, but it'll be an interesting one to watch. And I definitely think Bryson is worth a look, just on his pure distance and his form this year. Those are some nice odds considering some of the players in that kind of region. You know, would you take, let's say you can get Bryson at 28s and versus Hovland in around the 28s, 30s. Mm. Like, I mean, that's just a no-brainer there.
Yeah.
Agreed. And again, like Cam Smith is up there against Bryson. I think Cam could, like he's, you know, he's not one of the longest. It depends on how weather plays a factor, but I think that length will be a bonus next week. In spite of all the things we said, like length is always beneficial on a pretty long golf course.
Yeah.
Then a couple of others I was thinking about mid-range and then long shots. Minwoo Lee. I wouldn't mind, you know, a little bit more on his odds. He's in around the 50s there. A couple of places at 60s with shorter places.
He's driving the ball so well at the moment.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, and he hits it long. So
yeah.
It's still a nice 50-1 punt, I think. And then one of my favorites, Sepp Straka. Sepp's got the distance, classical golf course, won the Honda and PGA National, the Honda, Nicholas course.
He also won in Illinois last year at the John Deere Classic.
Mm. 400-1 when he top sevened last year as well.
If you missed, now pluck that out. Let me see. There's hundreds, 125s in places with shorter place, shorter each way terms at the moment. I wouldn't mind 100. Yeah, I'll take 100-1 on Sepp with the 8-10 places would be lovely. Those are ones that are in my head right now.
Can you believe Bryson was 110-1 last year coming into the PGA Championship?
That's a lot.
He was playing horribly, wasn't he?
Yeah. Place, though.
I think Bryson is a cracking bet next week. I really do. I mean, you don't need to put me off Bryson.
Mm.
The way that he took a real opportunity at the Masters where there was that 10-hole period from the first tee off where there was no wind, and a ridiculously soft golf course. I think he went off in the first five or six groups.
Yep.
And he literally tore that course apart. And then as the wind started to get up and as over the days, you know, from Friday was a little bit drier, Saturday the course was really starting to firm up. All of a sudden, he's starting to struggle with the humps, the hollows, the uneven lies, just the vagaries of the course, but hangs around. But you look at his score, didn't move forward, in fact, went backwards. He literally took that course apart when it was soft and there was no wind. I think that this golf course at Valhalla is going to suit him so, so much. I really do, especially if it's going to have plenty of cut in it.
Yeah, it looks that way.
And one thing we know about Bryson, he's not shy in majors, is he?
No.
You can't say the same about a Patrick Cantlay or a Xander Schauffele, can you, at shorter prices?
You can keep picking on Patrick, don't you? He'll come back and bite you on the backside at one week, Stu.
Well, I think if there's one course that would actually suit Patrick Cantlay in a major, I think it's this one. And as we know, great Jack Nicklaus golf course player and does well in this kind of region. If you actually take those, no, I haven't done it, but if you actually said to you include like golf around the DC area, Newark, Maryland, they had played the one at Wilmington. He's got a lot of wins on this kind of agronomy. But you know, you just hope that at some stage he actually clicks in a major and literally is in the mix come a Sunday.
Yes.
Sunday final round, because
yeah.
I can't remember the last time that happened. Or was there a time it actually happened?
The finishes tend to flatter, don't they? Because they're so many of them are just backdoor Sunday non-contending finishes. Yeah, it's good. It'll change eventually. He's too good for it not to.
Players you're interested in, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, I think Cam Smith's interesting, simply because of the way that he started to you know, those greens in regulation stats last time out were interesting for a player who can putt so well. Morikawa, I think there's a lot to like about him from an each way perspective. Again, you talked about Narashino, who won there last year, and that's this mix of Zoysia and Ben as well. Third at the Masters as well. There's a lot pointing me in that direction. And if I would, you know, if I didn't look at the 2014 leaderboard, I might be kind of similarly put off because, of, you know, assuming that it's got to be a little bit longer off the tee. But there were players in that final leaderboard who contended and were far shorter in relative terms than Colin Morikawa. So I think there's scope for a long shot to get into the mix as well. And we've seen lots of triple-digit players find their way into the each-way places. I mentioned Sepp, I mentioned Bryson, but you also had Cam Davis and Kurt Kitayama last year who were 160 and 225-1 respectively who found their way into the paying places. Yeah. A lefty won this at 250-1 a couple of years back, didn't it? Three years back. So, I'll look forward to trying to dig out two or three bombs which can go on the website on Tuesday rather.
There'll be someone that uses the magic beans to get round here, and that's likely to be Smith, isn't it? But
yeah.
Not long enough and crooked. I think that's eventually going to catch up with you in terms of winning. Yeah. At least with Morikawa, you know he's moderately long and pretty arrow straight, so he's not in the rough a lot.
He has been hitting it really straight as well. Last few tournaments. Food for thought.
Food for thought. I think that's about us, isn't it, champs?
Yeah, lots of research and analysis to do over the next few days, and hopefully we get some final markets up from the bookies before Monday. See where they're pitching everything.
In terms of our content, my betting preview will be out lunchtime on Monday, UK and Ireland time. Our golf betting system podcast will be out as usual on the Tuesday of PGA Championship week. I look forward to it.
Hmm.
Enjoy the golf over the weekend, chaps. Hopefully your players are in the mix, both at Myrtle Beach and at Wells Fargo.
Yeah, and yours, fingers crossed.
We will see you again next week. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system, the golf betting system.